Hello, and welcome to A Course in Miracles TV. My name is Robin Duncan, and I am your host. Our topic today is called A Course in Miracles on the Front Lines. I have an exciting and very talented guest with me, and her name is Connie Branick. Connie has always felt that music is magical. She writes songs, she sings, plays the cajon, the piano, the baritone ukulele, and can even shout out a few stabs on the trombone whenever required. As a kid growing up in Cambridge, Maryland, Connie was always belting out some tune, and her early music choices shaped her sound today. Entertainers like Martha and the Vandellas, The Temptations, Nona Hendrix, and others taught her her musical blends and freedom of style. Through it all, she discovered the joy of soul, blues, and rock and roll. Her musical experience in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with bands and entertainers such as Luke, Tribal Etiquette, and Connie and the Rhythm Method defined her as a vocalist. She was also the winner of the Stroh's Superstar Talent Search in 1986. And then, a month shy of her 35th birthday, while still under contract with MCA, she joined the Army. She ended up staying for 22 years and retired from the Army National Guard in 2012, serving two tours in Iraq between 2004 and 2007. Fast forward to today. Connie has a band in Tucson, Arizona. It's called The Little House of Funk, and it was voted Best R&B Band by Tucson Weekly for the past 2 years. Connie believes that everyone has their own rhythm, and when we share it, we can create one heck of a groove. Wow, Connie, welcome to the show. You have a fascinating background.
Hi, Robin. I do feel extremely blessed that I've been able to, like a cat, I've lived four or five different lives, and they've all been a gift and an opportunity to learn more about the Holy Spirit through those different avenues.
We have quite a bit in common. I don't know if I told you, but I grew up singing in a country western band, not R&B, but from 3 years old to 11 years old, I was singing with my two brothers and my sister, and it was a huge part of my childhood. So we too were just singing all the time, rehearsing and, you know, just having fun on the stage together. So as I heard about your background, it just brought back a lot of memories and how that music just shapes you as a person. And it's also such a go-to. I mean, you've taken yours into your life today. I don't sing as much as I used to, and I miss it, but I love that you kept it going and you've even extended it into your own band in Tucson. So what's happening in the life of Connie Branick today?
Oh, my heavens. It's a little bit windy and dusty here in Tucson. I had three wonderful shows this past weekend and slept outside last night and under the full moon. It was beautiful. And that's one of the things I love about Tucson is the outdoor living and feeling that good kind of tired today. And lots of joy was extended. Lots of dancing. We had a little champion 4-year-old break dancer yesterday at the Club Congress and dancing with her grandmother. And I love that mixture of generations celebrating music together. It's so nice to see folks being more comfortable in the physical presence of one another outside of the scope of Zoom. I realize you're in California, I'm in Tucson, and I know that if we were in the same town, we'd be in the same room now.
Right. Isn't that nice?
A wonderful
nice
thought.
To get back to each other, right?
Yes. Aww. And at 1:30 today, I study with two of your previous guests, Jan O'Kelly and Timothy, and we are Timothy Holmes, excuse me. I study with their group on Zoom. They're in Sedona. I'm here. And it's really an anchor point in my spiritual development, studying with those two and Pops and the other rest of the group that I learned so much from and with.
Do you do that every day or a couple times a week? How often?
Every Monday. Yes, we connect. I think there's lots of other study groups that they facilitate. That's the one that really works that with my schedule and that I protect. That's the highlight of my month. My Monday is about getting that big dose of Course in Miracles to help steer me throughout the rest of the week.
I'm sure they will love hearing that. I know as a teacher, it's so fun to hear when people are really touched by what's going on and they find it helpful, you know? Mm-hmm. So what prompted you to go in the military after all those years in music and then all of a sudden you and joined the Army? What happened there?
Well, it was music had gotten to the point where I'd signed that contract and the band wasn't signed. I was signed. And that, in a way, broke my heart. I've never been considered myself a solo artist. I've always relied on the talents of others and a team. It's all about relationship. And I think that's why the course resonated with me so much when I was mysteriously drawn to it a beautiful accident. And to make a long story short, I missed my team. I couldn't get my legs under me in Minneapolis or Atlanta. I had started drinking too much and just didn't particularly like who I was becoming. It wasn't, you know, my ego and the quiet divine spirit was just resting, waiting on the couch for me to come over and sit down for a little while and get myself together. And in order to do that, I my mother died, and I had always promised her I would get my bachelor's degree, and I hadn't finished it. I had taken off with Connie and the Rhythm Method and pursued music. So I decided to finish my degree and become a school teacher. All of my credits, because I had gone to school for a couple of years before Connie and the Rhythm Method, in between bands, they were too old. So the only way I could finish my degree was to sign up. And I did. I signed up. And so I'm an accidental patriot. Once I was in the Army, I fell in love with the discipline, the teamwork. I mean, here I am 35 years old at basic training. I am thrilled to get up early in the morning. I love to run, and there's nothing better than breakfast. And we get to sing while we run. I don't know, but I've been told. I mean, what's there not to love about that? Everyone, I drove all the younger soldiers crazy because I was so happy all the time.
Well, you probably lifted them at the same time. So even if they were complaining, they probably wouldn't have known what to do without you, right?
Well, it was quite a learning experience, and the drill sergeants were very tough on me. And when I graduated, one of them even had tears in his eyes saying, "We tried to break you and we just couldn't." And you know, by then, I think divine, the Holy Spirit was definitely, even though I didn't have the Course in Miracles as a foundation at that point, you know, and it's in the course where it talks about how there's a lot of different paths where we come from different religions and ideologies, yet we all must walk this path at some point together. And so I think I've always had the whispers and the nudges, even if I couldn't define it.
You know, when you were did your tours in Iraq twice, right? How long for each time?
Well, the first time I believe we went and we were in the first iteration. So it might have been 2003, if I'm not mistaken. It was called Operation Iraqi Freedom 1, which is the first rotation and the second rotation. So we were there through almost two rotations. And I was in a unit that hauled fuel, 7,000 gallon tankers. And so our unit rolled into crossed the berm, and the Marines were building, you know, fuel farms, and it was like the Wild West at the time. There was not a logistics chain. There was not anything in place. There was no our unit and units from other entities established this camp called Cedar from the ground up. There was nothing there except camel and sand fleas when we showed up. Now, the second tour was much more organized, and I went back again in 2006, and this time I was the world's oldest first sergeant by then, and we were assigned to an active duty unit. It was during the surge, and we hauled dry cargo, so we were basically the milk run. And by then, I had discovered the Course in Miracles. I had actually fallen apart. I kind of fell apart. And the Course in Miracles was what I reached to with the help of friends and therapy and resources to help me pull myself together again and no longer smoke or drink or do anything other than study the Course in Miracles. I mean, and I drank coffee and water. That's about it. Decaffeine. I don't even drink caffeine anymore. So that falling apart was really a falling into who I really was.
Now, how did you find A Course in Miracles? Did someone tell you?
I found it in a bookstore, and I walked over, and I was attracted to it, and I picked it up, and I opened it, and I started reading. I liked the language. I love language, and it just resonated with me. And so I started studying on my own, and it was enough to help me maintain a course free of needing the crutches of alcohol or anything other than learning how to ask for help. Biggest lesson in the entire world for me. And it's all over the Course in Miracles. I mean, the Course in Miracles is giving is receiving. And when I came back from my, after my second deployment, I, you know, continued to study on my own. I read in the newspaper, our little local rag called the Tucson Weekly, that the Little Garden Ministries was having a course on Tuesday nights. And I was still in the military at the time. And I showed up on Jan and Timmy's doorstep. And I've been in their lives ever since. That's where I really, really learned what the Course in Miracles is all about, how to apply it to my own life, the practice of the Course in Miracles. I love that, the practice. I mean, it so applies. It doesn't mean we have to do anything perfectly. It means we get up and we practice. And they really taught me that.
You know, the practice just makes so much difference. You know, I think I learned from the course that all I had to have was willingness, a willingness to know the truth. You know, I had grown up learning that knowing the truth would set you free. But then I started to question myself, you know, what if my faith wasn't strong enough? What if I didn't know the truth? Would my children be jeopardized if I didn't have enough faith? Things like this. Mm-hmm. And then I came across the course where I was taught that, you know, if you were just willing, that's enough. And that Holy Spirit meets you right there. And indeed, he has, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been told by a little bird that you might know, that she said that you might have carried that Course in Miracles book around with you on the front seat of your military vehicle. So what were you doing with that? Would you carry it around for a safety feeling, or would you do some flip opens? What would you do with that book while you're out on tour?
Well, actually, you know, I did have the Course in Miracles book with me. I didn't have it on my field desk, and I didn't. It's one of those things where if you see the title, unless someone understands what a miracle is, or I didn't want to alienate any of my troops. Since I was the first sergeant, I was the non-commissioned officer in charge, and the amount of love I got from those soldiers was mind-boggling. They would not want to disappoint me. It was a whole different style. I believe that leadership is an act of love. And that was my principle. And that's, you know, that's how I led.
That is so
it was a covert
so awesome.
It was a covert awesome. Operation. You know, my Course in Miracles really was a covert operation. I've been asked, what is it that you do? And then when I have that opening, then I'll talk about the Course in Miracles and what it means. And I'll tie it into whatever faith, if that person is a Christian or if that person is of Jewish descent, or then I'll tie it in. I always go refer to that section, and I don't know if it's in the epilogue where it talks about that there are many, many religions and all the religions share at some point will walk this path of love, this path of relationship. And when you have that principle and the principle of giving is receiving, and in my defenseless is my safety that lies, those lessons alone can lift you to, you know, to the pinnacle of what it means to be in this particular realm. It really boosts your true perception.
Now, how would you bridge, you know, the principles of the course, and then you're out there on the battlefield and in my defenselessness, my safety lies, but then you feel like on a physical level, you're being asked to defend and protect and prepare for battle. How do you put it all together? It sounds like you did a wonderful job doing that.
The one thing I do know is that before every single convoy, we prayed. We'd have a Native American lead the prayer, a Latter-day Saint lead the prayer, a Baptist lead the prayer, a Catholic. Someone in the group would lead the prayer. Every single convoy that went out. And if I wasn't on a convoy myself, it didn't matter if it was 2 a.m. or what time that convoy rolled out, I was there with the troops. That really meant a lot to me.
That makes all the difference, doesn't it? And I'm sure you saw that when you start with prayer, that the day just unfolds in a way that is somewhat peaceful, perhaps more peaceful than you expected. Were there times when there was a lot of fear or anxiety, you know, while you were performing your duties, where you had to grab for either a quote or something to give you a boost or some reassurance? What would that look like?
Oh, yeah. I think that they're always, they're in the wings. They're in the wings, and they just can't wait to run on stage and you know, grab the microphone and you know, just get up in your ear like that. And the Course in Miracles basically kind of keeps them away from the mic. And so when I would get anxious, one of the things I like to say to myself when I get anxious is, you know, God is all and all and all and all and all. God is all and all. I just will step. Well, that's like a mantra to me. And I mean, I love the idea. I always have this image of a driver's ed car where you've got the two steering wheels. And, you know, on a good day, the Holy Spirit in me has the wheel. But sometimes that daggone ego takes over. And that's when all heck breaks loose. And the gentleness of the course is such a contrast to, you know, growing up with a background in evangelical Christianity. The idea of guilt that is so entrenched in our interpretation of biblical scripture can be terrifying. And the course helps us revisit that with a different perspective. I just love that. It doesn't make anyone wrong. It just basically kind of tilts us in the direction of peace. It's not about right or wrong. It's about peace. And
I love
that.
It truly is. You know, one thing I love is that A Course in Miracles is just out there, the sharing of the principles, whether it's on the battlefield or, you know, I've heard from someone that works in a prison and they are really holding down those principles. And wherever you are, love is, you know. I can remember a time in Hawaii, I was just getting ready to leave and we were all at a little pub for the evening and I was sitting there and I have this way of, and you probably do too, where when people need some reassurance or some comfort, it's almost like they know that you might be able to help them with that. So they kind of just find their way to you. So this man sat down with me right across the table, and he just starts telling me about what was going on. And he was just about to head off to Iraq, and he just sounded really traumatized. And he was a sergeant of his group, you know, his platoon. And so I just started talking to him about the course a little bit and asking him about his fear. And his greatest fear was that his people would not come back. Mm-hmm. And he said that all the wives and the spouses had been calling him saying, you are going to bring my loved one back, right? And so he had this great weight of responsibility on his shoulders. And he was just sharing that with me. And by being able to bring in just some of those spiritual principles through prayer, you know, and just helping him remember that these people, they're God's children first, and mm-hmm. God has them, and God has him. And that God is going to guide him how to help them. And that right. Holy Spirit is the guide. And if he will take that off his shoulders, which I understand, I have a son who's a Marine. He's a captain. He's an Osprey pilot, takes everything very seriously and so proud to serve our country. And just that strength and that desire to get it done right and to help people and to serve. It's such a powerful thing inside of our soldiers, wherever they are in the world. But it was so exciting to see the weight come off of this sergeant. And he started laughing again and cutting up and high-fiving his group there. And I could see that he somehow gave it all over to God in that moment. And it just makes such a difference. And I just love that you're out there driving around, you got your course book, and, you know, you're starting out with prayer before you head up for the day, and every person feeling like they're a part of that. I just know it makes a difference. And I'm so grateful to you that you would do that. I know if my son was over there, or my daughter, and they were serving in Iraq, and you were their leader, and you were having them start that way, I can't tell you how grateful I would be, because I know it makes a difference, you mm-hmm. know?
Well, and all the troops, I think it was something collectively we wanted to do. And we did bring everyone home. It's the unit that I was serving as a first sergeant for. I had come back from the first deployment, and we were so depleted of officers that we had a wonderful second lieutenant take charge as a commander. He was promoted to first lieutenant. And so I was asked if I would go back again. And I said, yes, I'll get a cardio clearance. I want to make sure everything's good to go, so I don't let y'all down. And everything was good to go. And he was a fine young commander at the time. I think it was a good choice to have me temper his tendency to want to be too gung-ho. And the troops trusted me. They trusted that Big Mama will take care of us. So it was daunting when parents would say to me, I know you'll bring my daughter home. He didn't even question it. And then soldiers were volunteering to come to the unit when they heard that I was the first sergeant. They trusted that I would do everything I could to take care of him. And I did. I did whatever I could. I mean, I think that vulnerability, which is also in the course, is defined in a way of, you realize how much strength is present in the allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. And that was something that I think as a woman in the military, I had an easier opportunity to do that, unfortunately, than a male counterpart would have had. And yeah, and when the soldiers would be having a hard time, I would brusquely say, let's say, Private Snuffy, I need to see you behind the berm. And I'd take him behind the berm, and then I'd quietly put my hand on their shoulder and say, Tim, are you okay? John, are you okay? Do you need to talk? Do you need a hug? And I'd give him a hug. And then I would say, listen, I'm going to yell at you, and then you can go back on the other side of the berm. And so near the end of the tour, they would talk. They'd go, hey, what did Big Mama really do behind the berm with you? You know what she did with me? I just thought that was so funny. And it made me laugh. Yeah.
They were probably so happy to go behind the berm. They probably needed that reassurance.
It was. It's just a whole show of being, got to be tough. So, and wanting the troops to walk away with their heads up in the air. Damn, I got my butt chewed, that sort of thing. Anyway, it was probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life is to serve as a first sergeant for that unit and deploy when we did. And you know, we got hit 22 times with IEDs, and our heroic staff sergeants and young lieutenants who were the convoy commanders always knew what to do when a truck got hit. I'm so proud of them. I really am.
You know, the proof is in the results. You know, we pray and it does matter. I heard you say everybody came home, right?
Everybody came home. Yeah.
God bless you for that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And all those happy parents, because I'm a happy parent too. Just every day I know that things are going well and everything's good. And so I'm so grateful that you were able to bring that kind of reassurance to the front lines, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was the vehicle, I was the channel, and our soldiers. We had Brother B, he was our Baptist lay minister, and I'd ask him to pray when we all needed a prayer together. And it's so important, I think, to establish conditions for everyone to succeed and find out what someone does well and celebrate that. I tried my best to do that and not make a soldier do something or serve in a job that they weren't comfortable with. Whenever it was possible to maximize everyone's talents, the commander and I would do that. And big, you know, big kudos to Joe, my commander, for his willingness to listen to a crusty old first sergeant like me.
And just, I guess, being flexible to get people doing the jobs that they felt most aligned with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That flexibility. Yeah.
So what would be some of the quotes or go-to paragraphs? What would you pull on when you're out there and you need a boost? What are some of your favorites in the course?
Well, I can tell you a story from my first deployment that I shared with Jan and Tim, and this happened to me before I discovered the Course in Miracles. Yet, when I read the 153 in My Defenses, My Safety Lies, when we read it that evening, it hit home that the truth in this section. When I was in Operation Iraqi Freedom 1, I was on a convoy, and we were hauling fuel, and it was early on, there was no intelligence. We had no radios. All we had were handheld Motorolas. And we were hauling fuel up to from near Basra, the birthplace of Abraham, up to just south of Baghdad to a place called Dogwood. And the main road, like I-10, the I-10 of Iraq, was blown up. And so we were taking the smaller routes, and we got to Samarra. Unbeknownst to us, there was the supreme leader who had been exiled for the Shias was in a motorcade coming through, and everyone wanted to see their supreme leader. And our convoy didn't know that. And the next thing you know, our convoy gets disrupted and separated. We wound up in the middle of the village, surrounded, completely surrounded. There's at least 100 Iraqis, and there's Mike Coyle, who's a trombone player, so he's very relaxed, and me, a 48-year-old truck driver woman, and they surround us. We've got folks, I'm driving, there's men jumping on our trucks, and I mean, we just sat. What could we do? I mean, we didn't reach for our weapons. I mean, we're surrounded. And the Ivan comes out, and he walks out, and then it's, you know, we've got the trucks, and he lays down in the road. And what I did was, the Holy Spirit just told me to take off my glasses and take off my Kevlar, my helmet, and I put my right hand on my heart, and I just bowed. And the folks that could see me, like up on the, and I had bowed, and I looked at everyone, and I bowed, and they jumped off the truck, and they went over, and they told the Ayman, this is what I imagine. I don't know how to speak Arabic. you know, hey, there's a old lady driving the truck. They're fine. They're not going to hurt. Let's let them go. Anyway, all I know is that my Mike and I sat there, and next thing you know, the village just parted and let us go. Wow. And to me, that demonstrates that principle. When I discovered this principle at Little Garden Study, this cemented me to the Course in Miracles in a way that I had already experienced this. Anything that's gone well in my life has been when the Holy Spirit has been holding on to my handlebars. So not me.
You know, you just wouldn't expect that that would be the answer. But what I found as well is that the Holy Spirit gives you the steps, very practical. You know, some people think, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, but I have to do things. I live here, you know, but what we get is very practical guidance. You were told exactly what to do. I think it is lesson 135 where he says, if there are steps to be taken, you will be told of them. And so to keep you safe, I mean, who would think that taking your glasses off, taking off your helmet and hand over the heart, and it spoke to them. You were given the language, even not knowing their language. I just love to acknowledge the brilliance of the Holy Spirit, because whatever situation we are in, even being surrounded and feeling very threatened in your situation, you were guided as the perfect steps on what to do. And that's true for anyone listening here today. Sometimes people feel like they are in a situation that is impossible, that there are no doors or windows, there's no way out. And if we can just pause today, all of us together, and know that there's always a solution, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's showing us the correction and what needs to happen for a peaceful outcome. You know, you mentioned at the beginning how peace is the most important thing. You know, sometimes people think winning is the most important, or getting your point across, or, you know, making sure that you are heard. And there's so many goals. But if we will make peace our goal, then everything falls into line within it. And it sounds like you did just that. So I would say that was a miracle, right? Wouldn't you call it that?
That was absolutely a miracle, without a doubt. And you know, giving is receiving. And what I mean by that is that when we're given, when the Holy Spirit gives us, and we receive, and then we give, we receive. I mean, it's just such a beautiful cycle of love in action. And you know, while we're here in these physical forms, I mean, I do believe that we're charged with joining with others. And action to get from false perception to true perception requires the active application of love. And that, in the simplest ways, is like you reaching out to me and inviting me on your beautiful show. That's action, and that's love in action.
You know, I love those principles. You are exactly right, too, because we are called to do this together, to extend together, to remember that we are one. Separation is not real. And as we start studying the Course, I think one of the things that really occurred to me as I started studying is that we are worthy. We are worthy of an answer. We are worthy of happiness. We are worthy of a life that we love. I think I used to believe that some people had that, some people didn't. Some people were more fortunate, some people weren't. And as I started to claim that worthiness, things started to go in a better way. And it seemed like the second thing that really got my attention was exactly what you said, which is safety lies in my defenselessness. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard that statement, I thought, well, how does that work? You know, your ego says, well, that can't possibly work. How can you be safe in defenselessness? Because if you're not on guard, if you're not protecting yourself, if you're not attacking or defending, well, then you'll just get mowed over, right? And I remember a much lesser experience than what you had was just a simple conversation with someone where we had not been seeing eye to eye. It was just a phone conversation, and every single phone conversation had gone badly. And I read that lesson in the course about safety being in my defenselessness. And I thought, well, how can I apply that in a conversation? So I was listening to the Holy Spirit. And what it seemed I needed to do was to not attack and not defend, not different than what you did even in that village. You didn't attack, you didn't defend, you just listened for guidance. So even in this situation of a difficult conversation, I just listened for the words to use to communicate with. And I found that that was the first time we had a conversation that was meaningful. There was no conflict. There was no argument. There was no attack. There was no defense. And I remember hanging up the phone and just feeling triumphant because just applying that principle in a simple conversation, it brought the healing that was so dearly needed. So whether it's being surrounded in a village, life-threatening situation, or a simple conversation that needs some restructuring, I feel like the course principles just bring us so many tools that we can use in the moment we are in. Isn't that right?
It's interesting. You think about the concept of there's no order of difficulties in miracles. And I didn't understand that at all until a little bit, a little inkling of it in the last year and a half or so. And what you just said is a beautiful application of there is no order of difficulties. In a situation where you have, like when I've had difficult conversations with folks and I've had time to ruminate and my ego's had time, you know, to really come up with some
counteract
machinations.
Right.
Yes. Right. Those situations can feel, I mean, more difficult. In a case where you're surrounded, your ego doesn't have any time really to do much of anything. And so the divine immediately, there's no ego in there, right, at that particular time. So it's almost as if my situation was probably, to tell you the truth, easier than your situation, if that makes sense. I mean, or I guess maybe they're the same in terms of, you know, the Course in Miracles. And sometimes those principles, I get it. Like, did you ever read the book, A Stranger in a Strange Land?
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
There's a term that the protagonist uses called when you grok something, and it means you get it in a way that's deep. And that's kind of what I get sometimes with when I really get a concept of the Course in Miracles. And 108 is to give and receive are one in truth. I love that lesson as well. So,
well, I understand what you're saying about feeling like you were surrounded, so there wasn't much else you could do. And that's true. Like when it's a big problem, I find that I am able to go to prayer more quickly, probably out of survival, right? And then it's those little things, I call it erosion. You know, all of a sudden you don't realize that you're kind of sliding off the cliff, and before you know it, you're hanging by a root. Or when each day something seems to be heading in the wrong direction, but you're not really noticing it. And then those are hard things to spot. But when we involve the Holy Spirit, I feel like that God intelligence knows it all. And I like to remember that when I am afraid, you know, the Holy Spirit is not. When I am confused, the Holy Spirit is not. When I don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit does know. So there's this higher part of our one consciousness that is always available, always accessible. So sometimes we think if we are extra worried or confused, or that our mind is filled with fear, we might think that we won't be able to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. But I found actually that's not the case, that even when we are super afraid, we could be trembling in fear. It's all about the invitation and even being lifted and carried through something, that as long as we will ask, as long as we will allow something higher than what we understand to take it. You know, I love those words in the course. It says, Holy Spirit, please decide for me about this. And those words, decide for me, stay with me every day. Whether it's standing in a grocery line and deciding which line I should be in, You know, I don't know which one. You know, you walk up and decide for me about this. And you might find that getting into the longest line is actually the right thing to do, because the next register that opens up, they're going to come and get the people at the end, not at the beginning. So you just never know what is the right action that will lead to the highest and most peaceful situation. But there is a part of us that does know. So people that are new to the course, Connie, what would you offer as a suggestion or any advice to them as they're just breaking into it, since you've had a lot of good experience? What would you like them to know today?
My gosh. Well, one thing, if you don't mind, I wanted to thank you so much for your image and perspective on erosion, that idea that we can allow the little things in life, that I think this is especially present in social media, to erode the strength that we have in our faith, in our connection to our higher power, Holy Spirit, and that it's important, and that study is like creating, it's like getting out the shovel and making those sandbags to help keep us, to bolster our relationship with Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to thank you for that. The Course in Miracles, is just read it every day. Read it. I think that reading the text and I think studying the lessons, I think that if you're new, and it's a lovely thing if you can find, in the Army, we always had a battle buddy. And you would go everywhere with your battle buddy. If you could find a partner to read with, I've had the opportunity to read the book from cover to cover on two different occasions with two different neighbors of mine here in the building. And every single time I get the opportunity, I learn so much. I would love to read it with you, Robin. I know that I would get so much out of your perspective. And the divine is infinite, and we are all expressions of the divine. And your vision is going to would help expand mine. It's like that there's multiple colors in the rainbow when you shine it through a prism. And if we have, you know, we can put more of the colors together, our perspectives, we sense the beauty of the rainbow and the totality of the love when we share the course. If you don't have a partner, read it anyway. Just your website, the resources that you have, Robin, are incredible. And I think that reading and studying and realizing that the course is gentle and it's a practice. It's not an end goal. It's a practice. It's a means to releasing your ego and celebrating life from the perspective of the Holy Spirit, which is joyous.
You know, I love what you said about just staying at it and just really trying to give yourself a few moments a day to have some time with it. And you'll just find that your peace goes up, your fear comes down, and it's like Jell-O in that it just gels. There's a point where it gels and you get it and you understand it. And there are a few resources, you know, at miraclesforliving.org, everything's free there. Lots of different topics where the course is brought into relationships and childhood trauma and prosperity challenges. And so that's a site that's all free. We have a study group twice a month on Sundays. It's called a Course in Miracles Global Study Group. And we send you all the replays. And my husband reads a little bit of the course, and then I explain a little bit, and then he reads and I explain. And so that's another tool. It's completely free. We have the workbook lessons. It's at acimaudiolessons.com. They're free. So you just sign up and every day you get a daily lesson. Then you get a little daily commentary. And I just even am creating these tools, and there's so many of us doing this. I think as a student of the course, you just kind of taste a little flavor from each teacher. You might end up studying with several teachers or just one. And I think everybody has their own style, their own way, and everyone will know exactly where to go to really get their reinforcement that they need. Those workbook lessons, you know, it's a lot even to do the workbook lessons, to record them and to do a commentary, because those have to be done every day. I can remember traveling on certain days and I might be out with family members and there was no place to record in the house, and I'd be out in the car and then it would start raining and I'm trying to record on my iPhone, my commentary, and then I would hear the rain and I had to go, okay, I have to do it again. I have to sit and wait until it stops raining. That was my studio, you know? So all of those commentaries are spontaneous, just driven by Holy Spirit's guidance. But it was just one of the most fantastic years, is when you commit yourself to something, not knowing how it will get accomplished, but somehow it does. And Connie, I am so touched today. I feel like tears just keep coming to my eyes, because I love knowing that you are out there and you're singing and you're extending and you're leading and you're helping people and you're hugging them behind enemy lines and you're sending them back out with a nice stern talking to so that they can stay strong and feel good about what they're doing. There are so many ways that I appreciate you today, and I'm so excited to have gotten to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. I feel the same way, Robin. I'm definitely going to be enlisting in one of your Sunday classes.
Oh, that would be so great. You know, we were talking about erosion, just a little piece on that, that I found out that I was responding in a bigger way with prayer, with listening on the bigger things. And then I was guided that I needed to do that same thing with the little things, you know, the things that disturb your peace. And so there's a prayer, and there's a free download of my Miracles in Prayer book at freeprayerbook.com. Pretty easy. And it's prayer number 150. It's the last one in the book. And I found that I could use that prayer in any situation, just a little two or three lines out of that prayer. And it goes like this. There is only God. There is only the power of God. There's only the presence of God. There is no opposing power. Sin, disease, and injury, and deficits, and whatever you want to add into the blanks, you know, sickness, whatever that is, they are not real. For God did not create them. There is no opposition. So I'm just paraphrasing out of that prayer. But if you memorize just those first couple of lines, those are some go-tos to remind you that only the truth is true, and that what we're looking at with our eyes really has no substance. And if we will not assign effects to it, then the Holy Spirit can intervene and give us another way to see. So I love what you said about erosion, that we have to be tough about that, that we have to not tolerate what the ego is offering. You know, in the Course, it says that the ego depends solely on our willingness to tolerate it. Isn't that something? You know, it's always nibbling at our heels in our mind, and we do tolerate it. I think we get used to a little bit of suffering, and we have to say, no, no more suffering, no more tolerating the ego. And we can just have these little go-to phrases out of the Course or out of a prayer and remind ourselves that we can choose again. And in the Course, he says, that's our power, is to choose again. And it's not up to us to heal the problem or the person. It's up to us to make room for that healing. What we were talking about, practice making room for that healing, have that willingness. And then you've got this higher consciousness in the Holy Spirit, in that God intelligence that's right there. Mm-hmm. He says, if we only knew that God is as eager to come to us, to answer us, as we are eager to get to him. And one other part I love is that God knows his way to his son. So sometimes when I would feel that I was in a dark place or a complicated place, you feel like, well, I don't know if Holy Spirit will find me because I'm too deep under the rubble, you know? And I love that line that said that God knows his way to his son. So anyone listening here today, if you think your problem is just too big or too hard to solve, God knows his way to you. He will find you, but let him know that you want to be found, right? He said he will answer anyone that is calling. And so don't think you have to know your way out of that dark room. Just right where you are, right where you sit, you just give a call out and you just say, God, I'm ready to know you. I'm ready to know your love, and I don't know how to find it, but my heart is open and I'm willing to be a happy learner. And then buckle up, because things get better, right?
Buckle up, Buttercup. I love that.
That's right. Well, gosh, I wish you could just do a little round of singing for us. Do you do that impromptu, or is that something we need to go to the YouTube for?
Well, I if I had known, I would have had my ukulele out here.
But, that's all right. What are just about a couple of little lines?
I'll sing you. Looking out my window from morning till night. My favorite PJs are getting way too tight. It's been 6 weeks of binge watching Hulu and Prime. I started drinking whiskey cause I done run out of wine. Talking about house arrest. Oh, we're all on house arrest. Yes, we are. Uh-huh. But we're all in this together. You and me. Ain't this amazing? Wait, that's a song I wrote.
Firecracker girl.
About the pandemic, and it talks about Zoom, and it talks about masks, and features a 16-year-old lead guitarist, and you can find that on Spotify called House Arrest.
Your voice is so supercharged, and I love it. I hope people will go look for you. How do they find you, Connie? Where's your website and your music?
Oh, you can find me on Spotify. I've got a couple of albums on there, and I have a children's album coming out, The Desert Rat Pack. It will be illustrated by this incredible 14-year-old young lady, Daniela Levy. And Spotify has everything, iTunes, all of the streaming platforms, Bandcamp. And my website is ConnieBrannickBand.com. Yeah, I'd love to have you stop by.
Your website is beautiful. I was checking that out. So everyone listening, tell people about Connie and her music and now music for children. How exciting is that, right?
Thank you so much. Yes. Listen to Morning Sun because that is, of course, a miracle song.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I can't wait. Well, yeah, when we have it, maybe we can post it out on our channel. So
you got it. You got it.
Well, you have definitely found your rhythm and you are sharing it with all the world in every breath you take. Thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for the blessings that you bring. And you do it so eloquently. Just, you're an elegant human. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Robin.
Such a pleasure here today. Thank you, Connie. I hope you'll come back and sing it up again.
I would love to come back.
All right.
I'll bring my ukulele next time.
Okay. Right back at you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, this is Robin Duncan, and I am with acourseinmiracles.tv. Be sure to check out our website. It is acourseinmiracles.tv for upcoming events and resources. And this channel is offered freely for public benefit. Your support helps to keep this program going. So thank you for that. Remember to expect miracles and have a blessed day.